One of the traits that people are looking for in a parish is whether it is welcoming. And I want to revisit that theme as we consider this anniversary. For we want to further our parish mission, which we have summarized as helping people to believe in Christ, belong to his church, and to bless our communities. Certainly the generations who preceded us were devoted to those three things as well. The mission of the parish is stated to state why we exist. And certainly every parish is called to do those three things, but we have chosen that as the mission of Holy Family Parish to keep us focused. And that includes how we welcome people. People will be able to detect whether the parish is welcoming or not by seeing how the community acts. Is the parish community an insular one with factions and cliques that are not open to new people, worried that new people may be, quote, taking over the parish? But usually you can get the first indication about whether a community is welcoming on the parking lot and as you walk into the church building. Do people greet you warmly, even if you are sitting in their regular pew? Of course, Holy Family Parish strives to be a welcoming community. We usually greet each other as we enter the building. The lector begins the call to worship with a word of welcome to those who are on site in the parish church and online through our live stream capability, which is very important during this pandemic and which we will continue to do after it subsides, God willing, very soon, because of furthering the mission of proclaiming the gospel and building the church. When someone registers in the parish, I send a letter of welcome to them. And on the third page of the Sunday bulletin, in the upper left-hand column, we have this regular announcement, which is also part of welcoming people. The announcement is, all are welcome to join us as we strive to follow Christ within the fellowship of his church. God's grace makes it possible for all to accept the entire gospel with its comforts and its challenges. And this is the aspect of welcoming I want us to pray about as we reflect on the gospel reading. Unfortunately, some people define a welcoming parish as a community that does not mention those challenges too much, or mentions them when they think it commands changes for others and not for themselves. Or they reinterpret the challenge by conforming the gospel to what they think it should be rather than what Christ has revealed it to be. The tragedy is that these attempts do not reflect the fact that the entirety of the gospel, with its comforts and challenges, is an expression of the Lord Jesus Christ's love for each person. In the gospel reading, the Lord Jesus welcomes a wealthy man to follow him as a disciple within the community of disciples. And in that encounter, we see elements of how we can follow the example of Christ as we welcome people. The gospel reading begins as Jesus was setting out on a journey. A man ran up, knelt down before him. A welcoming parish provides an environment for people to encounter Christ, whether through worship, whether through opportunities for faith formation for adults and children, even in our fellowship activities, whatever we do, our serving each other and serving those outside of our community. We help people to encounter Christ. And when this man went to encounter Christ, Christ welcomed him into his presence, and he allowed the man to ask him a question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This was his urgent desire. He knew that he was created to share life and love with God. And he was blessed with material wealth, but he knew that was not enough. We cannot be afraid of people asking questions on the journey of life, even wrestling with doubts. But we provide an environment in which people can deal with those questions and doubts by listening to Christ, who is the master of life and the model for living. Jesus told the man, you know the commandments. And Jesus talked about commandments 4 through 10, how we are to relate to one another. And that shows us that we cannot be ashamed or reticent about the divine commandments, for they govern our thinking, speaking, and acting. They are not restrictive. They provide a framework for us to live in freedom that respects our dignity and the dignity of others. While the wealthy man says that he is observing all of the commandments that the Lord mentioned, Jesus already knew that something was not right. And the man knew it as well. That's why, after presumably hearing the teachings of Jesus beforehand, when he saw Jesus, he ran to him, knelt before him, because there was still a yearning in his soul that was not satisfied. And now he had come to Jesus expecting a satisfactory answer, but he wanted the answer to satisfy him according to what he thought Jesus should say. He was not disposed to accept what Jesus had to say. And so, when we ask questions of the Lord, we need to be prepared for his answer. We need to accept that he reveals the truth about the human condition. First of all, that we are his beloved children, that sin hinders us from living fully according to our identity, and that he provides a way to overcome those sins. An authentically welcoming parish who follows after the example of Christ provides an environment for people to encounter him, and this leads to the experience of conversion. Why? Because we are also undergoing conversion in our lives. Jesus said to the wealthy man, who had said to him, well, I've observed all these commandments, Lord. Jesus looked at him with love and said, but there is still one thing you need to do. And the man thought he could not do it. Instead of looking at the face of Christ, who would give him the capacity to do it, his face fell. And he left because he was unwilling to let go of his possessions and cling to Christ. But our security can only be centered in Christ. No one and nothing else. The problem was not that this man was wealthy. When Jesus explained what had happened to his first disciples, he said that the problem was that having wealth was a temptation if one does not allow Jesus to influence how to use it. In his reluctance to convert to the way of Christ, the man was violating the first, second, and third commandments. You are to have no other gods before you. We are to honor the name of God. We are to worship the Lord on the Sabbath day. And therefore, he was not observing the other commandments as God intends. For striving to wholeheartedly love God is the only foundation from which we engage in relationships and how we approach every circumstance of our lives, including our use of things, including how we conduct our finances. Now, I'm sure that Christ would have received the man, even if the man would have said, "Good teacher, you give a hard lesson. And I know that because I have many possessions, it is hard for me to do it on my own. But I will walk with you. I will walk with my fellow disciples. And I know it will be possible because you enable me to do it." And yet the man could not get past thinking what Christ was asking was impossible. A welcoming church provides the environment for people to see the possibility of what Christ can do in one's life. As we take the step of faith, moment by moment, we will find out over time that we have been able to do more than we could ever imagine, including carrying our crosses. Well, the gospel reading begins that while Jesus was on a journey, he was on the journey to Jerusalem to face the cross, to confront the power of sin and death. But he would overcome it. Notice that Jesus didn't call this man back, allow him to ignore his teaching, and to become his disciple anyway. Why? Because such an idea would have been dangerous for this man within time and for eternity. Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. He did not want the man to have a facade of following him to Jerusalem. For facade is another way of saying to be a hypocrite. To say you believe one thing but act in a different way, and you're not concerned about the inconsistency. But the person who is striving to be holy may stumble along the way at times, but knows that he or she has stumbled and knows that Christ is the Savior who picks them back up and helps them to advance on the journey. And not just Christ, but our fellow disciples who help us to get back up and continue on this journey as well. For we are on a journey to the new and eternal Jerusalem. And we cannot toy with ideas that would lead people away from the ultimate destination that Christ has set before us. A welcoming parish invites people to encounter Christ, to experience conversion to his ways, and to engage in this process with a commitment. Everything that we do as a parish needs to lead to that. Jesus never gives up on us as we follow him on this journey, and he never gives up on those who have turned away. Because he is loving and merciful, Jesus was ready to welcome this wealthy man back, but the man needed to trust Jesus and Jesus' directions for his life, even though he could not see all of the consequences at that time. Placing devotion to wealth above God may not be our obstacle to growing in discipleship, but each person here has an obstacle. And we are called not to cling to that, but to cling to Christ. Let us pray for the courage to accept what Jesus asks of us. He is looking at us with love. He doesn't want to take away our joy. Jesus wants us to experience a joy that no circumstance can take away. In the responsorial psalm, we pray, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain wisdom of heart. In other words, the psalmist was saying, teach us to remember that our lives on earth are just a moment in eternity, and help us to be wise in making choices in life. We do not want our last days to be filled with regret about wasting time thinking about what we thought was impossible for us to do alone. And meanwhile, Jesus was looking at us with love, inviting us to trust in the various means of grace that he gives us to make it possible. The gift of himself in the opportunity to worship. The gift of himself speaking in his word, the gift of himself offering his most holy body and blood, the gift of himself in the gathering of community in which he says, when two or more are gathered in my name, I promise to be there with you. We thank the Lord for being with Holy Family Parish for 145 years, and he's not finished yet. He won't be finished until the end of time. We want to continue to be a welcoming church that follows the pattern Christ. We invite people to accept the entirety of the gospel with its comforts and challenges, because we do not want people, and we do not want ourselves, to be eternally bankrupt. What we want to do is to enjoy the richness of fellowship with God and one another that death can never destroy. And that is why we remain committed to this mission, to help people to believe in Christ, to belong to his church, to bless our communities.